So contrary to what some might say, the earth is round. Most days we don't think of it, right? Things don't roll off our countertops in our kitchen, and the sanctuary doesn't list to one side and not sending people down the pews of these 100-year-old old oak pews. So we don't have to deal with the ramifications usually of living on a globe. But this week I was talking to a friend from Minnesota, and he was speaking about the long stretches of highway that go from western Minnesota into North Dakota and then on to Montana, where it seemingly stays straight forever until it winds through the mountains of Montana on its way to the Pacific Northwest. But in Minnesota, North Dakota, and eastern Montana, it looks like it just goes straight into the horizon. Except it's not straight. You see, if it was straight, it would veer up into Canada because the road was straight, but the earth is round. So there are these things on these long stretches called corrective curves. Curves that at first glance could be interpreted as veering off path, but actually keep the integrity of that east-west thoroughfare while going on a globe. Without them, you would never get where you're going. The early church learned through experience that if the good news was going to go from 120 people, like it says in our Acts pericope this morning, into the 2.4 billion Christians that we have today, we're gonna have to learn to roll with corrective curves. They had it in their minds in our Acts text that in order to do the work of Jesus, they had to recreate the past perfectly. And that's not an unusual assumption that humans have in all kinds of areas, and it's especially prevalent in the church. But whereas grandma's tamales need to stick to the familiar patterns, and if you miss something in the ingredients, they might mess up, life is an ever-changing community, and culture is shifting. In the church, we tend to get fixated on certain things that we think make us Christians or a particular denomination, and we get lulled into thinking that what defines us is what we do in our worship or where we worship or what we call ourselves or being with the same group of people forever. But all of that is impossible in our ever-changing world, which means that when we yearn for yesterday, we cannot be peaceful in this present moment, and we certainly cannot walk into the future that God has for us. The early church started thinking that they needed to do these, replicate these conditions that they had when Jesus was doing his earthly ministry. So that meant making the 12 disciples that reflected the 12 tribes of Israel whole after the loss of Judas Iscariot. They took a couple of guys who were pretty cool and had been around from the beginning. Joseph, which also was called Barsabbas, and then also Justice, like he has several names. Why he didn't just go with Joe, who knows? And then Matthias. They did a prayer, presented the two candidates, and then rolled the dice. Matthias came out on top, apparently, according to whatever the dice said, and that was that. And really, it was pretty underwhelming, because we don't hear about Matthias at all after. In fact, we don't hear about the other 10 disciples besides Peter and John in the rest of the book of Acts. They just dissolved into the greater movement when everyone was gifted with the power of the Holy Spirit. It was fine that they thought they were going to need to recreate those conditions, but the Holy Spirit was just like, how cute, and then got about on the business of anointing everyone. No longer was it just 12. But on and on and on until billions believed and were empowered with that same incredible spirit of love. What makes us Christians is not a replication of the past. It is the revolutionary resurrection love of Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus changes us completely. It enters us into a new iteration of life that we as Lutherans call baptismal life, wherein the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and it does not start when we die and go to heaven. It starts here, now, in this place, in this time, wherever our feet take us. It's a way of living where we no longer make choices based on the priorities of the world or the whims of our own desires, but where we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, sometimes with those corrective curves, so that we can end up where we're meant to be. Jesus, as he prayed the prayer that we found in our gospel this morning, this prayer, just to contextualize it, was the night before he died, and it was somewhere between the Last Supper and when he washed his disciples' feet. He was not praying for folk to know how to recreate something, was he? He was praying that God would lead as the people became something new and unified together as one. He prayed that they would realize who they were, one as he and the Father are one, beloved community, so that infinite love could be multiplied. Notice in the prayer, there was never a, "Lord, please make sure that they come up with their own denominations and think that that certain denomination is the only way to belong to me and never change it, not even a word. And let it be in the original German, dear Lord." He also never said, "Make sure they never change the color of the carpet in the narthex and not a version of the hymnal, and may every recipe of the jello, especially the savory ones that are super disgusting with ham inside, stay the same forever." No. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Let them know they are one. In every generation, in every time, in every place." Our social statement in the ELCA says, "Because we are both sinners and saints, we acknowledge that we build walls that Christ has torn down." Ugh. Ouch. When we refuse our corrective curves, the inevitable change that seems like it's taking us off the path but actually makes us most faithful to our own time and place, we build walls that Christ has torn down. When we put constraints on the good news, constraints on ourselves that God never put on us, when we're burdened by trying to recreate something in our own personal past or a collective past, we build those walls over and over and over again and trap ourselves. When we do that, we cannot do the work of our baptismal promise. But when we are able to allow the Spirit to keep us on course and not veer off into Canada, although Canada is a lovely place, we walk into the future in power and joy. We become a prophetic witness for this time and this place of resurrection hope. Last week, I was in Corpus Christi for a Synod Assembly, and I would have rather been here with y'all rather than in plenary meetings. But it was a perfect place for a gathering of the church. The body of Christ is what Corpus Christi means, right? And we're in a weird place in Christendom in North America. It's uncharted territory with declining church attendance across all iterations of the church, every denomination. We're have wars raging around the world, and we can see them in real time. Division rules the day. People believe that they can't belong to each other if they don't agree on everything. But we must remember that every generation has faced uncharted territories. You are facing uncharted territories in this season of your life. Everyone is experiencing it. What happens on a community level is reflected in the personal. You too need these corrective curves in your personal spiritual path to navigate what comes next. No matter what change happens, the Spirit will guide you. The first Christians faced uncharted territory. They tried to recreate the past, but the Spirit brought them into a new future. So may we, as individuals and as a community, lean into God's new future. May we look at the corrective curves not as scary or something that keeps us from our precious sense of comfort, but as the necessary next step into the amazing adventure of the good news, knowing that as we faithfully keep what is true and let go of what is not necessary, we get to pass what is vital to the next generation as it has been passed to us. May life abundant envelop you, and may you feel the wind on your face as you follow with faith the one who changed everything so that we might be one. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.